This coming Shabbos is Parshas HaChodesh, which is the Shabbos before the month of Nisan. And the first Rashi in the Chumash says that really the Torah could have started with this 12th chapter of Shemos, known as Parshas HaChodesh. This is the major purpose of the Torah, is to give over to the people of Hashem, the people of Israel, what is to be their life's mission. So that starts with chapter 12 of Shemos, where it says, Hashem said to Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. This month should be for you the head of the month. Rishon Lachem L'Chodesh HaShanah is the first for the month of the year. So, as the sages point out, and Rashi brings this, Her'ahu Levana B'chidusha, that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the renewal of the moon and said to him, when the moon renews itself, the first signs of the new moon, then that should be the beginning of the month. In addition, it tells us that Nisan is the first of the month. So it says, further in Rashi, he showed him the moon in the sky and said to him, Kazera Eva Kaddish. When you see this, you sanctify the moon. So, on this is based a common custom, that when we see each month the new moon, we say a special prayer, which I put in front of you, called Kibbutz Levana, fastening one of them, where we say the following. This gives a deeper understanding of this significance. Kazera Eva Kaddish. I'll just go take certain parts. The second part of the blessing, it says, you said to the moon that it should renew the crown of glory to those who are born through the womb, who will in future become renewed like the moon, and to give glory to their Creator on the name of the honor of His kingship. Blessed are you who renews the months. So, this goes together with the concept of Zera Eva Kaddish. The deeper significance is, we know that the life of each individual has its ups and downs. It waxes and wanes. It can be in 1 month, be in a few years. But that is the rhythm of life. There are high points and low points. So, the major teaching for us, given by the moon, is that we should know, even if things are dark and we seem to be very low, but Hashem gives us low points in order to renew ourselves to reach a high point, just like the moon does. Now, this is the deep symbol. And time is life. And therefore, we should recognize that the waxing and waning, which takes place throughout time, should be a symbol for us. And that when we are on the high point, we shouldn't feel too haughty and too great, because pride comes before the fall. And when we are on a low point, we shouldn't get depressed, because we can easily renew ourselves, just like the moon does. This applies to the individual, but it applies specifically to the people of Israel. After all, this passage was given to the people of Israel when they were at the lowest point of despair, when they thought that we're finished, we're not a people anymore, we're just a group of slaves. So Hashem says, no, you'll be able to renew yourselves through the mitzvot that follow, through the rededication to Hashem. Even if you feel far, you can reach a high level. And Let's take it a bit further. The deeper teachings of Kiddush Levana. It says, and if you turn to Tanit Be'Rabbi Ishmael, that's the Torah Shebaal Peh, if the people of Israel would be able to welcome their Father in Heaven once in the month, this would really be a great level. And that's why you have to say Kiddush Levana when you're standing up. Who is it that comes up from the desert and is leaning on her beloved? This is a phrase from Song of Songs, which speaks about the enormous love between Hashem and Am Yisrael. What do we know? When someone is far from Hashem, but as we know, distance makes the heart feel fonder, and it brings us to pray to Hashem. We should be able to receive Him, even when far removed from Him. Therefore we say, may it be the will of Hashem, Lamalot Pegimat Halavana, to fill up the dent in the moon. That means, the dent in the moon, of course it's a natural phenomenon, but the natural phenomenon is, just like, let's take it a bit further, in the image frequently referred to by the prophets, when it says, for example, in the prophets, even when darkness is spread over all the nations, Valaich Yisra Hashem, but over you Hashem will shine. Even if we're in a dark night, we should know that it become lit up. How does it become lit up? Through the way in which the moon turns its face towards the sun to reflect it to the earth. Similarly also, the purpose of Am Yisrael is to reflect the glory of Hashem to the rest of mankind. Those who have the ability to feel near to Hashem, is their task to reflect this presence of Hashem to the rest of the people of Israel. And the people of Israel must reflect this to the rest of the world. As it says by the prophets frequently, the purpose of the people of Israel be an Ola Amim, be a light to the nations. People often say, well, here we find it's Choshech LaYudim, frequently it's darkness to the Jews. So let's first bring some more light to the Jews. But the real purpose is the whole nation should really enlighten all mankind. And then we even pray, this from the verses of the prophets, that we look forward to the time when the light of the moon, light of the sun, and light, the light, a cosmic light which existed in the 7 days of creation. So this is the whole concept of trying to reflect the power of Hashem completely to mankind. And then we bring this chapter 67 of Tehillim, which speaks specifically about the universal mission of the people of Israel. That we are here to reflect the light of Hashem to all the nations of the world. You see, it says, you Hashem bring light, your light to us, in order that through us, your path will become known in the earth of amongst all the nations, Yishua Techa. As a result, Yotu Achamim Elohim, the nations will recognize you. And more, Yotu Achamim Kulam, they'll all recognize you. There'll be no more wicked people. They'll all try to be living in accordance with the acceptance of the kingdom of heaven on earth through the people of Israel. So this is the Kiddush Levana. Now, This is the significance of Parshat Chodesh, the concept of renewal, the concept we have freedom. It's a very important principle for individuals. I'll tell you a story which I had in my Kehillah in the Prague. It came to parents, their son started gambling, there's no way, the psychologists are working with him, not proving any results. Maybe I should have a try to see what I can do. So I had a long talk with him, and I explained to him that he shouldn't feel like he was in an addiction, he's compulsive. He shouldn't feel that he is enslaved to it. He says, you know, even psychologists tell him, you know, you can try shock treatment, get you out of it, medication, you know. Not working. I said, do you know that you are free, that you have an inner power of freedom to control yourself and change yourself? I worked in that direction. I contacted his psychologist. And he said, right, let's try it this way. And Baruch Hashem worked. Today, the society is such that many so-called experts in all different areas of life, they're determinists. They think you can't change human nature. The base of the Torah is you can change human nature. You can change your whole approach to life, and you can change your life. That's the concept, Kazer Eva Kadesh. See the moon? The moon is a symbol of the ability to change through the freedom given to the human being. That's the concept of Chidush, of renewal. The person can renew himself. Every year the Jewish people renews itself. Every year the Jewish family get together at the Seder night, not just to commemorate the past, no, to renew themselves. I will say, we as Jews, who really have to recognize, using contemporary concepts, the most important thing for Jews is to reform. Not the Torah, to reform themselves. We can reform ourselves. We become reborn every year, every day. It's a new day. We're given to have renewal. That's the concept of Kazer A, the Kadesh. Al Yema, Al De Lechadesh, Lehit Chadesh. We've got to renew ourselves. That's the major concept. Then, Moshe and Aaron were given commandments how to change the people. So, on this, we'll just refer to verse 17 in Parshat HaChodesh. Because it goes all the way through, all the mitzvot and all aspects, they all teach us it's not just a vague concept. We shouldn't think that Hashem just tells us, renew yourselves, and we've got to pull ourselves up by our bootstrings. But you can't do it. A person who you can't walk much, he'll pull his bootstrings, it won't help to pull them up. That's no way to do it. We have to have others to help us. Ein chavush matirat mubitas. If we're tied up, we're enslaved to our lower instincts, or we're enslaved to the trends of the environment which bring us down, we've got to have something to pull us up. What can pull us up? The mitzvot. Mitzvot are, in the Zohar says, they're all counseling, advice. They're given in the form of directives given by the mitzvah, by the creator of man. He tells us, yes, use the mitzvot. If you follow the mitzvot, a person, to use here a concept which is developed and put forward very well by what is, I'm still today, I would say, the basic way of thinking, those who do think in American society and also in other parts of Western society, it's a pragmatism, Western pragmatism. Pragmatism, the great philosopher pragmatist, Henry James. So James said, and of course it's in the Chumash. Don't have to have James and don't need the modern verse. He says the person will find it difficult to change his character. Not easy. Well, if I've got the tendency, like we spoke about, to gambling, I've got the tendency that I just follow my appetites and as a result I don't live a healthy life. Or if I've got a tendency to not always tell the truth, or to be arrogant and proud, or to be angry, how do I change in the human nature? It's my nature. You can change it not so easily by telling yourself I'm doing wrong and I've got to do right. No. And we're reading a lot of books. You can change it through action. Because a person does have a feeling that in the actions he does is free. And that's one of the problems of the determinists. A person does something, someone tells him, "What, you're a robot." So I'm not a robot. I decide what I want to do. So of course the determinists say, you decide why? Because you're adapting yourself to the society around you. That's why you want to do it. Or you're adapting yourself to the pattern you saw in your family, or perhaps as a reaction to the pattern you saw in your family, and you want to go against it. That's what motivating you, but it's like a reflex action. And it's not a free action. But when a person does an action, he feels it free. I will never forget an argument of one of the biggest philosophers in modern times on this question. Who said it doesn't believe human beings have any freedom. And he proved it from all different sources and so on. So then I used to interrupt him a lot in his expositions. I didn't like it. So he called me to his place. Also, actually, I was given a lecture also, the kippah on my head. He didn't like that either. So, when I came to him, he said, I'll come to my office. He said, you know, I don't want you to interrupt me. I said, what do you mean? According to your philosophy, how can you tell me to change? Well, I'm predetermined. It's predetermined. So he got more angry. So I said, well, why should you be angry? What's going on here? Am I free or am I not free? If I'm not free, you've got no right to criticize me, not in one movement of a finger. And this is said by the greatest man of literature, some would say of Europe, but of course Britain, who said there was never yet a philosopher who did not suffer from toothache. However much they were pushed freedom and sufferance. Even though they didn't believe in freedom, but they still suffered from toothache and they complained about it. That's how he puts it. So, the essence of Chachodesh is you can renew yourself by doing what? Through actions. So it says, Ushmartem et hamatzot. Take the matzah, and you've got to, what you have to do, Ushmartem et hamatzah. It says, is that verse 17. So this, by the way, is the origin for Matzah Shemura, and for the laws of Matzah Shemura, which I won't go into now, but I think you, the present audience, probably know what that means, Matzah Shemura. Or if you don't know yet, you'll know it in the next few days. And it's a very interesting verse, because it says, Ki be'etzem hayom hazeh, because through the power of this day, the day of Pesach, I took out your hosts from the land of Egypt, Ushmartem, you observe this day for all your generations as an eternal statute. Very cryptic verse. But what is learned on Ushmartem and Matzot, Rashi says, you just make sure the matzot don't become chomets. From here they said, what happens if the dough that you're kneading rises too much? Then you've got to put a bit more cold water on, it should not rise. Rabbi Shai says, don't read et hamatzot, but read et hamitzvot. Just like you should not allow the dough to become chomitz, machmitzim, so make sure, ein machmitzin ta mitzvah, don't let any delay come into the fulfillment of mitzvah. Ella, if a mitzvah comes to, asil tamad, do it at once. This, I would say, is the key. We say matzah is the key to all the mitzvah. Pesach is the birth of the people of Israel as a nation of Hashem. Therefore, there are mitzvot connected with Pesach. You don't have all the year round to give us a stamp of dedication to Hashem and how to change. How to change in the manner that we renew ourselves all the time. How do you get this renewed energy? You get it through baking matzahs. Yeah? A person bakes matzahs, you know. You must have, well, so those who've been to hand matzah baking, they know it. In matzah baking, you must go to speed. And you must not let the dough lie without action at any moment. You've got to keep on at it. Keep on working. Use your hands. Use your mind. And you've got to know it's Hashem. This is for the purpose of the mitzvah. Concentrate with your mind on what you're doing. And do it for the purpose of the mitzvah. Know that you thereby become a servant of Hashem. You are not anymore a personality that is predetermined by time. Now, from now on, you can choose to serve Hashem at every moment, whatever you do. If you learn to use an action which expresses dedication to Hashem, therefore it becomes the symbol of the mitzvot. The other concept of the mitzvot is to be a zoris. In life we know, this is the situation. There are people in life who are extremely active, and the people are overactive. That's also no good. If you're overactive more than you can really do, it's like trying to make a high jump when you can hardly make a small jump. Or when you're trying to run fast before you can crawl. And of course, you jump up a ladder when you can literally get up the ladder step by step. But you decide, well, I'm going to jump a few steps, break your neck. So therefore, it's the same with a human being. Each human being has got to know how far we can go, but don't go and become a vegetable. Don't go and just let slide through life, and then you miss opportunities constantly. You've got opportunities to do good, to help other people, to develop the inner talents, develop your mind, develop your good qualities you've got in your heart, develop your physical self. You've got to learn to develop it in the right manner by not missing out on the opportunity. Lo lachmitz et ahizdamnuyot b'chayim. And that's the path of the people of Israel. And that's what we've got to follow. In time that we're tested constantly by different situations. We're tested by situations when we're given everything and we don't have even to do much to receive so many different blessings. And then we feel, let me just be a recipient and not be active at all. Then we think, I don't need to be. I can just rest on my laurels, what I've achieved already, what I have. No, but if you've reached a certain level, you've got to go and see, am I appreciating who gave me that level? Hashem. And am I therefore using whatever I have to help others? Or am I just become a self-centered, conceited person who's arrogant and only wants to accept Hashem and is also not really interested in other people? And so it can be vice versa as well. I'm very poor, have very difficulties. You should know that is an encouragement of Hashem. Go and work to bring yourself to a level when you can move, whether it's a poverty of mind or poverty of means, whatever it is, go and correct it as much as you can. And reach a level when you can activate yourself. So this is the concept of Zerizot, which has taught us one of the first principles of the ladder of perfection, as mentioned by Pinchas ben Yair and developed Mesilat Yesharim, is Torah brings you to Zehirot. I mean, don't go in the wrong direction, or Zerizot. And then you've got to work on, when you know you're not going the wrong direction, and you've got possibilities to do good things, don't say, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. I don't make enemies. And therefore, I'm a good person. How do I not make enemies? Because I don't speak to people very much. And as a result, you know, people don't hate me. And therefore, I'm a good person. While other people, you know, other people who talk a lot and do a lot, so they have enemies. So I'm fine. I'm a good Jew. Many people think, I'm a good Jew where I am. No, you've got to go and make sure if Hashem has given you, He's given you to give to others. Even learning Torah, says in the Chumash. Learning Torah is fantastic. It'd be a very big mitzvah. But which one comes first? Teaching Torah. What this is mentioned first. Shenatam levanecha, elu talmidim v'dibata abam. And when you learn, have in mind, I've got to learn so much I can teach others. Don't think it's good enough, I'm sitting in yeshiva and I'm learning. It's not good enough. You've got to learn to teach. And those who are learning to teach, you know, they take notes, they record, they do revision, because they've got enough. They've got to prepare something to be able to say it further. I know that some people, quite well, who went to yeshiva, they wrote down the shiurim as far as they could, even the shiurim of Shabbos. They write them down after Shabbos and preserve them for 60 years. And then sometimes the rabbonim who taught then, their children say, maybe you've got some shiurim which are never published. And they're able to publish them. About other people who don't just it goes in one ear, goes out the other. No, that's not it. You've got to go and use it. Make sure you use the Torah. Just like make sure just it's not good enough to eat the matzot. In some ways, also, at least try to understand what it means to bake the matzot. Because it's all part of the mitzvah. To understand the chipazon. Chipazon yatzatim mitzrayim. And sometimes, you can only wrench yourself away from the enslaved mentality, and as well as physical enslavement of Egypt, of any other environment, by wrenching yourself away in one go. You say, I'm going to leave it. And from that enslavement to Egypt, and that slave mentality of Egypt, I'm going to try to lift myself up to become a servant, a free servant of Hashem. You should reach a malchuto baratzon kiblu alev. To accept the malchut Hashem with a strong will, recognizing Hashem has given us freedom of will to serve Him instead of being enslaved to others. Chovot halavot puts it like this: a person is either an eved leyitzro or an eved leyotzro. Either person is enslaved to his evil inclination or he's enslaved to his creator. But then it's not enslavement. then it is a service which brings true freedom. Al tid charut el chirut. It's ultimate freedom.